retired as a full-time ski patrolman. And at that time, we were busy cutting runs, putting up telephones, and generally getting things ready for the opening in December of 63. And they had the 2.5-mile gondola and Prospector chairlift, and that was the extent of it. The first year, there was probably 10 runs. The second year, they added the famous skier subway and another chairlift, and that got by with those for quite a while, actually. Well, après-ski back in the 60s was pretty limited, and there really wasn't a lot of it during the week. In those days, it was pretty much a weekend venture. There were several places in town where we sort of hung out after skiing, and I guess we started at the north end of town and kind of worked our way up Main Street. But the immediate one was the Rusty Nail, which was in the base lodge. And, of course, right after skiing, we would sort of head on up to the Rusty Nail to do a little debriefing of the day's activities and have a brew or two. And then right close by, resort parking lot, across from what is now Shadow Ridge, was the Ore House, where Shirley danced, somewhat semi-clad. And we didn't spend a lot of time there because they had a pretty hefty cover charge for us ski bums. And another one that down on that end of town was the Sabone, which is where the Sweetwater Lodge is now. And we spent a little bit of time in there, but that was not one of our priorities. Eventually, we found our way up onto Main Street. And starting at the bottom of Main Street, of course, there was the Cozy, came up first. But the Cozy was a locals' hangout in those days. And we newcomers in town, better known as hippies in those days, really didn't venture into the Cozy, unless there was maybe a couple of us. And it wasn't really very comfortable. There was that was a different group. That's where the miners hung out, and they had a good time. And we kind of had our own separate places. But if you continued up the street a bit, the two favorite places, I think, for all of us ski bums, one was called the Gold Digger, and that's where Java Cow is currently located. And the other one was the Silver Palace. It was right across the alley where Chamayo is located these days. And those two had generally had live music on weekends and go-go dancers. And that's kind of where the girls hung out. So that's where the guys hung out. If the girls were there, why? We sort of went from the Silver Palace to the Gold Digger and back to the Silver Palace and back to the Gold Digger. And that was sort of the center of our activities. But then continuing up the street, there was a place called the Handlebar, which was also kind of a locals hangout. So we didn't spend a lot of time there. But on the top of Main Street, where Grappa is located now, was the Prospector Hotel. And for years and years and years, they had folk music. You remember folk music. And they had a group called Tom Drury and the Shenandoah Singers, and they played there for a number of years. And so we would spend a fair amount of time at the Prospector listening to folk music.
A self-described ski bum, Jim Tedford continued to work for the resort, splitting his time between the ski patrol and ski instructing, eventually moving to ski instructing full-time for his last 7 years with the resort. He worked for the resort from opening day in 1963 until April 1976. For Park City Stories, I'm Leslie Thatcher.
Park City Stories is supported by Sea to Ski Properties, Park City Ski Boot, and Alan Schoenberger Ski Studio, Park City.